God of the living, on this day when we set aside to observe Remembrance Day in a worship service, even though the day itself is tomorrow, you think it would make more sense in one way for us to speak of the dead, and perhaps even more sense for us to talk about those that have gone before that we know, who have some connection with Remembrance Day. And I thought about that because there's a group of people who fit into that category that have made me, in a very real sense, who I am. And what's interesting is that one of the most influential people who served, I never met, because my Uncle Alan, whose name gave me my middle name, never came back. He died in 1944 in a field in Italy in a tank when he was doing what he could. And so how could he have an effect? How could he make any difference at all? I never met him. I'm aware of a single photograph of him, which is currently on my Facebook page if you want to see what he looked like. He had an effect because of the effect he had on my dad. My Uncle Alan was apparently the best of the brothers, sisters, half-brothers and half-sisters, of which my dad was well supplied. Taught him all kinds of things. He was the happy one, the pleasant one, the one who joked, the best dancer of the bunch, and all of those other things. And he was around when my dad was young. My grandfather had two families. It's a long and complicated story. So my Uncle Alan was quite a bit older than my dad. But he was one of the few of my dad's siblings who had any time for him, who spent time with Garth, the little one, the one who was always trying to learn more, who wanted to be part of the group and all that. And played chess with him, and played cribbage with him, and told him stories, and he gave him a view into the possibility that as an adult male, you didn't have to be doer and glum and all the things that his dad was all the time. And part of that example came down to me, even though I never met him. And I think of some other people I know who served that I did know, and some that you might know also. David Marshall leaps to mind, who was a pillar of First Presbyterian for a long time. I'm sure many of you, or at least some of you here, knew him. And he served also. He was part of the liberating forces in Holland in the Second World War. And I remember talking to him about the challenge of being a person of faith in conflict and how difficult it was. David, like the vast majority of men and women who serve, had no interest in harming anyone. That wasn't what made him go. He wasn't looking forward to going and killing someone. He saw something that needed to be done, and he went and did it. And I've known others like him, and they're an example to me of what it means to serve, of what it means to take risks on behalf of other people, people you don't even know. I couldn't be who I am without the influence of others. And I wouldn't be the particular one I am without their influence. But why talk about them when we've just read that God is the God of the living? That story that Jesus responds to, the Sadducees who are coming to trick Jesus again or trip him up with this at best peculiar, if not actually absurd, story of some poor woman who has this succession of husbands with no children and then finally dies herself. I sometimes think she died just to get away from them in case they had any more brothers. This whole thing, and it's obvious there that it's a clever story intended to get Jesus to say something that will be problematic. And what Jesus does is he just steps away from the whole issue entirely. Jesus has said more than once he comes to bring something new, to bring a fulfillment of the law in a way that we didn't understand before, because the law doesn't apply the same way when Jesus came. And even more so, it doesn't apply really at all after you're dead. And he goes on to talk about that this isn't the question there. There's no need to marry or be given in marriage. Some texts put it in that time, we won't need to have children, we won't have any of these issues that we need to repopulate the world. We don't know exactly what it looks like, but we know that's one of the things we won't need. And then he says, but in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, who, as we all know by that time, are long dead. But Moses talks about them under the impetus of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus finishes with, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. And that's what struck me. That we sometimes forget that those who died before us are alive. Not to us, except in our memories and in the experience and in the ways that we are, in some of the ways that I talk, in the ways that I count a cribbage hand, my dad is well alive. I can almost hear him when I'm doing that, because I do it exactly the same way he did, because he's the one who taught me. And maybe he learned it from Alan, I don't know. And so maybe it's another step back. But they're dead to us in that sense. We can't see it, but they're not to God. God is the God of the living, and to God, all are alive. It's one of those things that reminds me again of this enormous cloud of witnesses that the author of Hebrews talks about. That there's a strong implication in various parts of Scripture that these people are at least somehow aware of what we're doing. I don't think they're looking down over the edges of heaven and watching us and wishing we made better decisions. But they pray for us. That's where we get some of those ideas of what saints can do. Those who died before us are not truly dead. We don't know the ultimate end of anyone. That's not for us to know. But we know without the slightest shadow of a doubt that there are many who are in the presence of God right now that we know and love in memory, and that one day we will once again know and love in person. And that's what I think of on Remembrance Day. For a long time, Remembrance Day was very hard for me. It was hard for me because all I could see was the loss. And it was mixed up in me with a younger person's view of the glory of combat and those things, and realizing that there isn't a lot of glory there. The outcome, yes, maybe it's less bad, as somebody said. In a war, nobody really wins. Just some people don't lose as badly as the others. And it wasn't until I began this process of understanding that in God, all are alive. And I might not have put it exactly this way a few years ago, but that's what I am at now. This reminder that, yes, these people have gone before us, but they're not gone forever. Because in God, they are still alive. And we will have the opportunity to see them again. We don't know the ultimate destination, so why speculate? Except to consider the very strong possibility that I will have the opportunity of meeting my namesake, Alan, someday. I don't know what we'll talk about. I don't know how that all works. But I take comfort from that, in the sense that no sacrifice is in vain. For all kinds of reasons, not least of which, because the person who made it continues in the arms of a loving God. And so at this time of year, November for me tends to be a month of remembrance, not just a day. There are many things that trigger these memories of talking to Jim Brown about flying, and the joy of flying mixed with what he was doing when he was flying a bomber. Talking to David about the camaraderie, talking to Fred about the friends he made, that even in the midst of the horrors of war, there were still moments of goodness and kindness, of care, of generosity, of experiences with God even. And so in Remembrance Day, we don't just think of the sacrifice. We remember the sacrifice, of course. But part of what we can do is that we can celebrate these lives well lived, even those that were cut tragically short. And we can be comforted in the fact that it's a loving God who has said all are alive in him. That it's a God who is interested in justice, but in peace and love also. And that even sacrifice can be redeemed by God himself. I don't know what you will do tomorrow for Remembrance Day, if you'll be part of a formal service, or you'll take a moment or two of quiet reflection, but whatever you do, I hope it will be meaningful for you, and I hope you will take a moment to consider that those who went before, those who are willing to put themselves between home and war's desolation, are alive in God, and that one day we will be able to meet them again. Amen.